Brother Don, I don't think I've ever heard that song before. It's got some great words to it. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Judges, chapter number 6. When you find your place in Judges, chapter number 6, hold your place there and then turn to Ephesians, chapter number 6. Ephesians, chapter number 6, verse number 10 and 11. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10 and verse number 11. There's something buzzing. I'm not too sure what it is. It's probably me. Ephesians chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 10. The Apostle Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." I want you to notice that verse again. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." What is going to get you through the battles of life is not your might, but His might. Amen? And we need to learn to trust in His might for our battles that we face. In order to do this, he said this, "Put on the whole armor of God." And if you are going to win the battles in your life as a child of God, you cannot pick and choose what spiritual armament that you're going to put on. You need to make sure that you put on the whole armor of God. Amen? This year we're looking at striving together for the faith of the gospel. And as we close out the month of May, we've been dealing with the topic of we need to strive together, enabled by the Spirit of God. And if we are going to go ahead and serve God effectively, and if we are going to win the battle in our Christian life, then we need to go ahead and do it by the power of the Holy Ghost that rests upon each and every one of us. And because if we try to go ahead and face the battles with the arm of flesh, as the old song says, "The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own." Now with that in mind, turn back to the book of Judges, and I want you to look at this biblical narrative about the life of Gideon. And there are some great things in the Bible about the life of Gideon. And as we look at this, it really parallels the Christian life. And how that Gideon fought against the Midianites, and how that we are to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I want you to notice what it says in just verse number 33 and 34 as we begin in Judges chapter number 6. "Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him." Here we find that Gideon is ready to fight against the Midianites. And the Midianites, they had those that were supporting them. The Amalekites and the children of the east, and apparently it was a very large number, and exactly how many was in this army, we do not know. But we do know this, that originally there was 32,000 Israelites that was ready to go and battle against the Midianites. Apparently the Midianites and the Amorites and all the children of the east, it must have made up a very, very large army, and war was ready to take place. Well, today in the United States, we live in a country that is really at a time of peace. And since World War II, America has not really had any war take place on our American soil or its territories, from what I understand. Our military is in constant preparation. They are preparing young men and young women so that if a battle does take place, we'll be well prepared to face that battle. They stand in constant preparation, training, equipping, going over strategies in order to try to go ahead and make sure if anything ever happened that we'd be safe. This has been going on from the very foundation of our country. When our country was first started, there was no U.S. military. They had volunteers. And those first volunteers were called Minutemen. And those Minutemen, within literally a minute, they had to be prepared to fight. They had to make sure that they had guns and ammo and they were ready at an instant to go ahead and take up arms. A good soldier is always prepared. A good military is always prepared. And I hope and I believe that every soldier hopes there'll never be a battle. I don't believe anybody wants bloodshed. But in order for us to stay safe, the military must be prepared. The same is true in the Christian life. In order for us as a child of God to win the battle, and listen, you are battling the world, the flesh, and the devil every day. And if we are going to win the battle in our Christian life, the child of God must be prepared to face that battle, whenever that battle may come. I want to ask you a question. Are you ready to face the battle today? Are you ready to face the battle? You see, there's a battle all around us. And war is going on. It's not a battle with guns and bombs, and it's not about national boundaries. But it is a battle for the mind. It's a battle for our youth and our teenagers. It's a battle for morality. It's a battle over souls. And the devil would love to go ahead and drag every soul that he kid to a devil's hell. And there is a battle going on. Moms and dads, listen to me. There is a battle over your children. And the devil wants to take your children to hell with him, to burn in hell with him forever and ever and ever. And we ought to go ahead and prepare ourselves and prepare our lives and prepare our children for a certain eternity which they must face. And all God's people said, amen. The Bible says, and the Apostle Paul said, I charge thee, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. He told Timothy also in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The Apostle Paul told the church of Corinth, he said in chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. At the very end of the Apostle Paul's life, he said this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And would to God that everybody could say with the Apostle Paul that I have fought a good fight. You know how the Apostle Paul fought a good fight? He prepared himself on a daily basis for spiritual warfare. And listen, if we are going to strive together for the faith of the gospel, we need to do so enabled by the Spirit of God. And as we are enabled by the Spirit of God, we need to go ahead and fight the good fight of faith. But unfortunately, I think that some of our Christians are waving the white flag of surrender to the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I think some of our Christians are going ahead and they're deserting the Christian troops for the things of the world instead of taking a stand for God. As I said, there is a great parallel in the life of Gideon and the spiritual warfare of the believer. Before Gideon could fight the Midianites, he needed to prepare. Before we get into our spiritual fight, you say, well, preacher, I'm not in a spiritual fight. I'm here to tell you, if you're saved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is a battle raging. And if you don't understand that there's a battle raging, you need to check out your spirituality. Because anybody that's saved, the devil's going to attack them. And we ought not be ignorant of his devices. And so we need to prepare ourselves. Like our military prepares for battle, the Christian needs to prepare. And I think that as we look at the life of Gideon in chapter 6 and chapter 7, what he had to say, and just a couple of quick thoughts about this, we can prepare ourselves for a battle that you're going to face today or tomorrow or next week, next year. But it's coming. It's coming. Look at Judges chapter 6. How can I prepare myself? The same way Gideon prepared himself. Four things I want you to write down. Number one, look what it says in verse number 34. After the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of Ephraim were gathered together in one place in the valley of Jezreel, it says in verse 34, but the Spirit of the Lord, now notice this, came upon Gideon. Came upon. Now that's an interesting statement. That the Spirit of the Lord, it doesn't say that the Spirit of the Lord indwelt. It doesn't say that the Spirit of the Lord empowered. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon. Now if you go back and study that phrase out, came upon, it means this. It means to cloak or to cover. It means to wrap about. And so when the Spirit of the Lord came down upon Gideon, it was like a blanket that wrapped around him. If we're going to prepare ourselves for battle, the very first thing that we need to make sure that we do, we need to make sure that we're covered up by the Spirit of God. As a child of God, we need to make sure that we are covered and that we are wrapped by Him. And that's what the word came upon means, to wrap about or to cloak or to cover. Several things I think you need to consider about that. If you're going to be covered by the Spirit of God, number one, you better know Him. You better know the Lord as your personal Savior. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to trust His shed blood as complete payment for your sin, what He did on the cross of Calvary, listen, you need to do that today. You need to get saved by the grace of God and let Him save your soul from the devil's hell. If you're going to have the Spirit of God cloak you and wrap you about, you need to know Him. Number one, personally. Number two, you need to know Him intimately. You say, what do you mean by that? You need to know all about God. You need to know how God works. You need to know how God wants you to walk. You need to know what God wants. He expects out of you. It amazes me of what Christians say, or so-called Christians say. And they will say all kinds of weird stuff. I mean, just weird. And they'll talk about heaven, they'll talk about hell, they'll talk about salvation, they'll talk about answered prayer. And you know what? None of it is biblical. It's not biblical at all. I'll be talking to a guy standing there with a Bud Light in his hand and witnessing to him about the Lord. Oh yeah, I know I'm saved. I know God answers my prayers. I said, really? You know, he's read a different Bible than I've read. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66, verse number 18. In Isaiah 59, verse number 1 and 2, it says, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities, in other words, your sin, have separated between you and your God, and your iniquities have covered His face. Listen, God is not in the business of answering unrepented prayer. You say, well, I don't believe that. Then you don't believe what the Scripture has to say. And I can show you verse after verse after verse. It amazes me. Listen, if you are going to win the battle, the spiritual battle that is raging in our life, you need to make sure that you are covered by the Spirit of God. It happens, number one, at salvation. Number two, it happens when you end up getting to know Him personally. The Bible says, walk, that we are to walk in the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, it says in Galatians 5 and verse 16. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 11, And in verse number 13, it says that we are to put on the whole armor of God. And if you study out Ephesians chapter 6, it's talking about the spiritual armament that the child of God is supposed to have. I'm saying to you, first and foremost, that we need to make sure that we are covered by the Spirit of God. Number one, for salvation. Number two, intimately. Let Him wrap you about. You know all about God, and He knows all about you, and you walk with Him on a daily basis. I'll tell you what, I like what Dr. Bruce Cummins said years ago, and I like it more and more each day. He said this, "My human best filled with the Spirit of God." And that's what we need to do. We need to have our human best filled with the Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul said, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Number one, if I'm going to fight the battle, I need to make sure that I am covered by the Spirit of God. Amen? I need to be wrapped up with Him. Number two, look at verse number 36 through verse number 40 of chapter number 6. Judges chapter 6. Now God told Gideon, "We're going to win this battle. And I'm going to fight for you, Gideon." Gideon was having a little bit of trouble. He was worrying. He says, "Lord, are you sure? You sure you want me to do this?" He says, "Lord, I want a real confirmation." You ever had something happen in your life? You just want a real confirmation in your life? "Lord, you sure you want me to do this? Lord, are you sure you want me to go to New Zealand? You sure you want me to go to Alaska?" I mean, you know, who goes to Alaska? Well, I know a couple people that do, you know. But a lot of times something happens in our life and we just need to get a hold of God. We need to say, "Lord, is this really what you want me to do?" Well, that's what happened to Gideon. Gideon was ready to fight this huge army of the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east. And he says, "Lord, are you sure you want me to do this?" And he wanted some confirmation in his life. Look at verse 36. "And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry on all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said." Look at verse 38. I want everybody to say those next four words with me. "And it was so." God answered his prayer. "For he arose early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed out the dew of fleece, a bowl full of water." And Gideon's still a little bit unsure. Well, you know, maybe this was just atmospheric conditions, you know, and you know there was a heavy dew and it just got on the wool. He says, Lord, I need to really find out. Is this what you want me to do? And Gideon said, verse number 39, unto God, "Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece, and let it now be dry on the fleece, and upon the ground let there be dew." Look at verse 40. "And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground." The second thing I want you to notice is this. If you are going to prepare for battle, number one, you make sure that you're covered by the Spirit of God. Number two, you make sure that you seek the face of God daily. Many times Christians will lose the battle. I sound like a broken record. When people get saved, I talk to them right afterwards. I say, "Now, there's three things you need to do. You need to read your Bible, pray, go to church. Read your Bible, pray, go to church." And I say that to everybody that gets saved. Read your Bible, pray, go to church. And I've got it written in front of my Bible. Read your Bible, pray, and go to church. You know why? Because you need to read your Bible, pray, and go to church. Because, listen, we need to go ahead and seek the face of God. The problem is people get into trouble and they find themselves in all kinds of difficult situations because they failed to prepare. They failed to read their Bible and pray and go to church. They say, hey, I can fight the battle on my own. I don't need church. I don't need God. I don't need the preacher. I'm just going to go ahead and do it my own way. That's what Frank Sinatra said. I did it my way. I wonder how that's helping him right now. If man would seek after God more than he would seek after his favorite sport, more than he'd seek after his favorite beverage, more than he would seek after his favorite vacation plans, and he would seek after God more than the things of the flesh, most of the problems in life would disappear. Amen? Isaiah said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. Listen, we need to seek after God. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13 and 14, it says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. If we want to go ahead and find God, we need to give Him all of our heart. We need to seek Him with our whole heart. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Let me just give you a little tip. You are not going to draw nigh to God and contradict the Word of God. You're not going to draw nigh to God and forsake the assembling of the house of God month after month after month and year after year. I was witnessing someone here not long ago, and oh yeah, I mean, people hadn't been in church in years. Years. Oh yeah, I pray to God every day, and I know God answers my prayer, and I'm thinking to myself, no, wait a minute. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And they were talking about how that they were right with God and they were doing everything. I'm thinking to myself, now wait a minute. They haven't been in church for years. How in the world did they tithe? How in the world did they give the missions? How in the world did they get involved in a Sunday school class? How did they teach their children and their grandchildren about the importance of God and the work of God, which God has established through the local New Testament church? How can you do that? You can't. You see, we need to draw nigh to God. If you want to go ahead and win the battle, seek the face of God before the fight takes place. Know God personally, and then seek the face of God. He put down that fleece of wool, and he says, Lord, he says, I want to find out if this is really what you want me to do. And listen, we need to go ahead and seek the face of God and find out exactly what God wants us to do. Now, God doesn't answer prayers through putting a piece of sheepskin on the ground today. He answers our prayers when we open up this book and we find out what God wants us to do, and we read from His holy word exactly what God wants us to do. Amen? I've heard people say, well, you know, God has really spoken to me and He wants me to move here, move there. Really? Show me that in the Word. I'm not saying that God doesn't move people, because God does. But a lot of times people move people. And we need to be very cautious. We need to seek the face of God and His direction for our life if we're going to prepare ourselves for battle. Look at chapter 7. Look at verse 2. I want you to see the third thing. Verse 1, it says, then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside of the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. Now notice verse 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon. Notice what it says in verse 4. And the Lord said unto Gideon. Look if you would please in verse number 7. And the Lord said unto Gideon. Look at verse number 9. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him. You want to prepare for battle? You want to prepare to win the victory in your spiritual life? Make sure that you're covered by the Spirit of God. You make sure that you seek the face of God and His direction on a daily basis. But number three, you make sure that you listen to the Word of God. Amen? You know, there's three words in the Scripture that we really need to take heed to. The Bible talks about hearing the Word, hearkening unto the Word, and heeding the Word. When we hear something, that's to audibly perceive. If we hearken to it, we are drawn close to it. And when we hear it audibly and hearken unto it, we draw close to it. Now it's time to take heed of what's being said. You know, a lot of people would save themselves from a lot of heartache if they would just take heed to the Ten Commandments. Amen? They're there for us. Amen? And by the way, they're Ten Commandments, not Ten Suggestions. And so we listen to the Word of God. Why should we listen to the Word of God? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 4 and verse number 12 that the Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides asunder between the soul and the spirit and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God, it's alive. We ought to listen to the Word of God. The Word of God cleanses us. In Psalm 119, verse number 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." You want to clean up your life, young people? Listen to me. You want to start over? You need to go ahead and hear the word of God and take heed to the word of God. Psalm 119, verse number 9. In Psalm 119, verse number 105, it tells us the word of God guides us and protects us. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It guides us and it directs us in the way that we ought to go. And so we ought to understand that the Word of God is important and we ought to listen to the Word of God. And if you're going to have victory in your spiritual life, like Gideon, as God said unto Gideon, God has said unto us right through this book today, and we need to listen to what God has to say. It's unfortunate there are many Christians that will listen to Oprah before they'll listen to the Word of God. They'll go ahead and listen to their latest talk show host before they listen to the Word of God. They'll listen to uncle or aunt or grandma or grandpa or mom or dad before they'll listen to the Word of God. Now, I'm saying every mom and dad and every grandma and grandpa ought to back the Word of God. But unfortunately, we live in a world and an age when that doesn't take place. And everybody's got their own twist and their own spin. And most of the time, it's not about the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse number 11, it says, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. That's a good reason to listen to the Word of God. It'll keep you from sin. In Jeremiah 15, verse 16 and 17, it says this, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and Thy word was unto me as joy and rejoicing of heart, because I am called by Thy name, O Lord." You know what the Word of God will do? The Word of God, if you devour this Word and you consume this Word, it'll create joy in your life. It'll create a rejoicing attitude in your life. Christian, don't walk around looking like you've been sucking on green pickles all your life. I remember a number of years ago, my cousin, Danny Roush, took me down to the hills of southern Ohio. He said, "I got something I want to show you." And he took me up to this little park up in the middle of nowhere. And he showed me this tree. Nice, beautiful leaves, and had these green things on them, about this big round. He says, "You ought to try one of these." I says, "Really?" I says, "What is it?" He says, "Oh, this is what's called a persimmon." And I said, "I've never heard of a persimmon before." I was probably about 13, 14. And I says, I don't know. I said, "It looks pretty green." He says, "Oh," he says, "they're good." Liar, liar. And he says, "You need to try one of these. They're really good, really good." I says, "You do it first." Oh, yeah, not a problem. And he bid into that, and he smiled. Oh, this is really good. And I says, okay, so I bid into it. And I'm telling you what, it was as bitter. It was as my lips turned inside out, and it was about ready to beat my brains out. It was just, it was horrible. And about that time, as soon as I bid into it, and I started turning about 50 shades of green, he started hacking and coughing and spit that thing out and laughing. Listen, we ought not walk around looking like we have been sucking on green persimmons or green pickles. As a saved person, we've been forgiven. Amen? As a saved person, I've been adopted into the family of God. As a saved person, He has gone to prepare a place for me, and one day I'm going to go and be with Him. Amen? As a saved person, He has given me the Holy Spirit of God who is going to abide with me forever. He leads me and guides me and comforts me and cheers me along the way. Why in the world should we be discouraged? Why in the world should we go around looking like we've lost the battle? Listen, we've won the battle. The battle's already been fought. You want to go ahead and prepare for battle? You need to listen to the Word of God before the battle ever starts. And if we're going to properly prepare for the battle, not only must we listen to the Word of God, but look at chapter 7. Look at verse number 7 through 9. Interesting thought. Now, through chapter 7, in verse number 2, we find that God, all the people are gathered together. In verse 3, it says that the bottom of verse number 2, it says, there are too many. God says, Gideon, you got too many people here. And He says, so I want you to thin the crowd out a little bit. So there was 22,000 at that point in time went home. And there was 10,000 left. 10,000, that's still a pretty big army. Pretty good size infantry. And so in verse number 4, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will tell them for thee there. And the story goes that as they took them down to the water, there was two ways that people drank the water. They were thirsty. There were some that bent down on one knee, and they pulled the water up and began to drink it. And then there was others, and I'll not do it because I probably won't be able to get back up. They got right flat down on the water and began to lap the water up like a dog. There was 300 of them that went ahead and lapped the water up like a dog. God says, those are the ones I want. I just want 300. You know, it tells me it probably wasn't Gideon's plan. It was God's plan. Here was a host of the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east. And God says, I only need 300. That's all I need. And He says, I want you to give every one of those 300 a trumpet. How about some grenade launchers, you know, Lord? How about, you know, we'll use some laser-guided missiles. We'll just wipe them out. No, I'll give you a trumpet. And take a jar of clay and put a lamp in it. Now, that jar of clay, I've thought about it. It either went over top of a torch or there was oil inside of that with a wick. And so when they took that jar of clay and they hollered, the sword of the Lord and Gideon, and they threw the pitcher on the ground, all of a sudden that pitcher turned into a Molotov cocktail in front of them, and whoof! That might not sound like a whole lot of a battle strategy, but it worked. Now I want you to notice this. Number 4, it wasn't the 32,000. It wasn't the 10,000. God used 300 men to defeat the Midianites and all the host. That tells me, if I'm going to win the battle, I must use what God gives me and not what I want to win the battle. I must use what God gives me to fight the battle. God gave them a pitcher, a sword, a trumpet. That was it. Doesn't sound like modern warfare to me, but that's what God gave him. In the New Testament, the Bible says this. In 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4, according as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us great and exceeding precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The Bible says that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That includes spiritual warfare. That includes having victory in our life. God is going to give us everything that we need. I want you to notice what it says in verse 21, chapter 7. So Gideon and his 300 men, they went ahead and they gathered all the way around the host of the Midianites. And Gideon said, I want you boys, we're going to divide up into three groups. Everybody gets 100 guys. And we're going to defeat the army because God said so. And so he says, I want you to do like I do. He said, we're going to gather around, and when I holler, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, everybody cries out, the sword of the Lord and Gideon, and you take your lamp and your clay pitcher, throw it on the ground, and you holler, and then you blow your trumpet. You say, is that it? Yep, that's it. Now, look at verse number 21. So they're ready to do this. They cried with a loud voice. Their pitchers broke. And then it says in verse 21, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. You know, in this passage of Scripture, when the actual battle took place, they didn't do anything. They did not do a thing. They just broke their lamp and their clay pitcher and they blew their trumpet, and all the hosts of the army, all the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east, they were so afraid they began to fight one another and they killed half of each other, and then the rest of them fled, and after the rest of them fled, then they chased after him and took care of business. I'm just saying, he didn't do anything, but he stood. He stood and let God fight the battle. And that, as a child of God, we are to do. We are to stand and let God fight the battle. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 27, it says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound those that are mighty. Now, with all that said, let me close with Ephesians chapter 6. And I want you to see something this morning. Gideon and his 300 men, they didn't go down there and swing a single sword in that valley. Now later they pursued him and took care of business. But the Bible says in verse 21, they stood. Christian, why don't you take a stand? You want to win the battle? Take a stand. Take a stand. You know what? You ought to take a stand where God takes a stand. You know, when I got saved, I said, you know what? I'm going to take a vow of holiness in my life, and I'm not going to curse, and I'm not going to swear, and I'm not going to drink, and I'm not going to carouse, and I'm going to leave the old life behind. And I took a vow to serve God when I got saved. Now, I haven't been perfect, and I've made mistakes. But that vow is still there for me. And I've tried to take a stand for God, where God takes a stand. Christian, you ought to go ahead and take a stand where God takes a stand. How are we to stand? Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We are to stand in the power of God. Verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need to stand in God's wisdom. How are we to stand? Verse number 14 through verse number 17. We need to stand with the armament of God upon us. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How are we to stand? With all of God's armament upon us. How are we to stand? In the Spirit of God. Verse number 18. Listen to me. If you will do these things, when temptation comes knocking on your door, if you take a stand against these things, they will go away. Don't wait until all of a sudden evil has crept in. Say, well, you know what? I'm going to take a stand now. Too late. Now you've got to pay the price. After the devil has come in and wrecked your life, listen, now you're going to have to pay the price. But today, if you're still ready to fight the battle, go ahead and put on the spiritual armor now. And it says in verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. If we are going to win the battle, we need to prepare the power of His might. It says we are to stand, verse number 11. It says in verse number 13, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Verse number 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt. Listen, Christian, we just need to stand. Take a stand for what's right. And say, you know what? I am not going to bend. And I like the children of Israel, when they were thrown in the fiery furnace, they said, it doesn't make any difference, Nebuchadnezzar, what you do. We aren't going to bend. We're not going to bow. We're not going to burn. And you know what? That's what we need to do in our Christian life. We are not going to bend. We're not going to bow. And we're not going to compromise on what is right. It doesn't make any difference if the whole world says, you know what? This is right and this is acceptable and we're going to legalize this. We ought to say, you know what? If the Word of God is against it, I'm against it. If the Word of God is for it, I'm for it. I still believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. Regardless of what the laws of our land say, I will never marry two of the same sex. It will not happen, not behind this pulpit as long as I'm pastor. And it doesn't make any difference if they legalize it. What you cannot condone, what God condemns. It's just that simple. So in closing, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Stand therefore. Stand praying. How's the battle going in your life? Christian, are you winning the battle? If you're winning the battle spiritually, it's because you have taken time to spiritually prepare ahead of time. And if you are losing the battle spiritually in your life, it's because you have failed to prepare. You say, well, how do I prepare? Number one, if you're not saved, you ought to get saved. Number two, if you are saved, you need to apply these principles to your life. And you need to know God. Let Him wrap Himself around you. Seek the face of God. Listen to the Word of God. And use only what God gives you instead of the works of the flesh to win the battle. And if you'll do those things, God can give you victory in your spiritual life. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. As the piano and the organist comes to play through a verse of invitation, today if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God loved you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this world to live a sinless life and to die on the cross of Calvary in full payment for your sin and mine. And if you would be willing to repent of your sin today and turn to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, save me, forgive me, cleanse me, Jesus Christ is willing to do that. It's just that simple. It's simple as ABC. A, admit to God that you're a sinner. B, believe what Jesus Christ has done for you as complete payment for your sin. And C, call upon Him right now. Because right now is all we have. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that You bless this invitation. Work in hearts and lives, and Lord, draw us to You. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness to us. Thank You, Lord, for winning the battle for us. Help us, Lord, like Gideon, to apply these wonderful truths to our life that we might have victory in our Christian life. Guide and direct, we ask it in Jesus' name.